Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast here. Jeremy Moss with Matt Kennerly, MWCConnection.com's website. And we're already at week 11, and we already have a divisional winner on one side. Congratulations, San Diego State.
The West is so bad.
How bad is it?
I take that back. UNLV and Hawaii are interesting, and the other three teams are bad.
San Jose State somehow put up 31 points on Boise, so... I don't know. It's terrible. There's going to be... How many bowl teams are going to come from the West? One? Two?
Probably just one. I would not be surprised if that were the case.
Because Nevada and UNLV technically have... I think it's technically Hawaii. Jeez, that... Oh. Weren't there three bowl teams last year, Nevada and San Jose?
Yes.
I'll be at 5-7 San Jose.
Yeah, they won that game, though.
To finish a quality 6-7?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to hop into the games here. We were hoping a little bit for a Western Michigan falter, as they are currently. By the time you hear this, they probably won their game, but they're stumbling earlier this evening when they were... who were they playing again?
They were at Kent State, and they're now up 16 with 4 minutes to go. So, Okay. Sorry, Aztecs fans.
It's over. Yeah, Aztecs aren't ranked in the latest college football poll, despite Florida State 18 with 3 losses. I don't know how that works, but...
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No, does not. But let's get to games here, so we'll get to it. We will talk about Fresno and the coaching search in a moment once they get to the game. Hint, there's not really an update. But we'll maybe make one up. Is that cool with you?
Well, there is a little something-something.
Les Miles?
Les Miles, only one person has talked about it, but it's my understanding that he actually is someone who applied for the job. And I believe some other intrepid Bulldogs fans found out that Barco did fly to Alabama to interview, presumably, Lane Kiffin. But, you know, of course, the odds on favorite until further notice is still Jeff Tedford, sadly.
Tef Jefford.
Yes.
Can we call him Tef Jefford? Is that okay? Tef Jefford?
You can call him whatever you want.
Just call him the next Fresno coach. Sorry, we won't get into that until later, until it's official. Hire probably will happen later this week. That's because the 2 weeks is officially up today, right? Yes, November 8th. So I'd expect to hire by Thursday afternoon, Friday press conference maybe. So we'll see. Let's get to games. We have a huge slate of games again this weekend. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, right? 2, 3, 5. Sorry, my math is correct. So let's start with let's go in order. Wyoming at UNLV. So it's let's just hope Wyoming doesn't choke this away because they have San Diego State the week after. And like you said, the West is bad. So you said UNLV is interesting. How can they make this game interesting?
Well, I think it's probably going to depend on their quarterback situation. It's my understanding that Kurt Palandek is going to be getting the start for the Rebels, which, you know, I think we kind of know who he is. But what's interesting to me is that, like, in the past, he's shown some ability as a runner. And even in the, you know, the limited carries that he's had this year, they, on Football Study Hall, they give him credit for 7 runs for 57 yards and a touchdown. You know, that's 8 yards a carry. So while he hasn't been quite an efficient passer, like, he is only completing 43% of his passes in kind of limited action so far. And he has a sack rate of 8%, which is not good considering the number of drop packs he's had. But he could make it interesting if they decide to attack the Cowboys front running the football, basically. Like, if Lexington Thomas is healthy and Charles Williams gets his share of carries and they decide to use Palandek more as kind of a, you know, short-yardage runner or something like that. I'm not saying it'll be, like, terribly successful, but I could see where that might be a possible path, because Wyoming's been okay against the run on the whole. But, you know, that is UNLV's strength, and so it'll be interesting to see just how much they lean on it in this matchup.
Yeah, we'll see, because Palandek, we know he's a runner, but I think part of his passing deficiency is, I know he's not the best thrower, but also when he's come in games as a backup, like last year and spurts of this year when he came in for relief.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's not warmed up or whatever, but that's what some people are pointing to a little bit. Well, he's not throwing because he's brought in on 3rd and 10, and is he really going to throw the ball? So there's a little bit of that. I think he could probably throw better than what we've seen, but it's not going to be a huge difference. And then also remember, the reason he was been out, he had a torn rotator cuff on that throwing arm. So, yeah. And right now, Rebels are 115th in the nation passing. So if Wyoming can just shut down, like you said, if there's health at the running back position, which has been a little bit of issue the past little bit for UNLV, but and Wyoming can do that. If they could set down Thomas or Charles Williams or whomever, even Palandek, this game could get ugly, because there's no way, at least my opinion, even with Devontae Boyd, I don't think UNLV can pass their way to victory versus Wyoming.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. On the flip side, I think that, you know, if Wyoming wanted to pass the set up the run, I think that's another really interesting matchup, because I think I've been talking up UNLV's secondary all year, and they've been kind of hanging tough, you know. But when you look at, you know, Wyoming's big playability, I think that's going to be kind of the difference, is if UNLV is going to be able to limit those big plays. Because if you go down just Wyoming's top 3 targets, for instance, you know, Tanner Gentry is averaging 9.5 yards per target and just over 15.5 yards per catch. You know, Malhart is also averaging 15 yards a catch. And even, you know, tight end Jacob Hollister, he only has 20 catches, but he's averaging 12.5 yards per target and over 16 yards per play. So, you know, when they've found those 3 big guys, that trio right there, it's usually been for big chunks of yardage down the field. And if there is, you know, I think a weakness in this secondary, it's the fact that they've allowed, you know, more big passing plays than you might expect. So, well, I would expect them to be able to defense a few passes here and there. I think their ability to really contain, you know, long passing plays, because on the year, they're, you know, tied for 9th in the conference with 34 passing plays allowed more than 20 yards.
Rebels are, you mean, right?
Yes. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, Wyoming has really thrived on, especially lately, is finding those big plays in the passing game.
You know what's odd about that? I'm pulling up the pass defense as you're saying that. UNLV is not very good in yards per game, but you say they allowed so many deep passes. They're actually 4th in the league at only just over 7 yards per attempt. It's kind of interesting.
So it's a little bit boom or bust then?
I assume so, yeah. That's just, you mentioned that, I'm like, oh, let me pull up this numbers to see. But they also, here's a couple of things. They don't turn the ball over, or they don't get turnovers. They've only had 3 interceptions. They have allowed, 17 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns. And they're sitting at 250 yards per game, which is, I believe, near the bottom. Let me refresh my, near the bottom. So And we could joke to say Wyoming could set up the run with the run. But UNLV's rush defense is actually not too bad. They held Pumphrey reasonably low to like 4.5 yards a carry. But I'm wondering, I think you're onto something to see the passing game, where this could be one of Josh Allen's biggest games all year.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it a little bit further, it's been kind of boom or bust because, you know, I think they're middle of the pack in yards per attempt allowed, or UNLV is. Actually, they're fourth in the conference.
Yeah, fourth.
And they've been tested more often than just about any team in the conference throwing the football. Like, they're, you know, they faced 317 attempts, which is about 35 pass attempts per game. And they're only allowing, you know, 54% completion rated to opposing quarterbacks. But like you said, 18 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. It'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, if they have so many pass defenses as a team, are they going to be able to turn a few more of those into interceptions? Because they only have 3 interceptions. They have 51 pass breakups as a unit, as a team, which is the best in the conference.
Yeah, I was thinking that sounds pretty good.
And, you know, maybe that's one of those, you know, half luck, half skill kind of things. But just for comparison's sake, the team that's actually leading the conference overall right now is San Diego State. They have 43 pass breakups and 16 interceptions. Hmm. So that's something to watch out for because, you know, Allen has been very good on the whole, especially in conference play. But he has thrown an interception in the last 2 weeks. And so if UNLV can create short fields for themselves, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but that's definitely a way that they can put some pressure on the Cowboys.
All right. Let me ask you this about I'm going to mention San Jose State here, but the quarterback with Josh Allen going up against this UNLV defense, where would you put who UNLV has faced? Where would you put ranking the quarterbacks? Cause they played Josh Rosen of UCLA before he got hurt week 2, they faced, who's the Central Michigan's quarterback?
Cooper Rush.
Yeah, Cooper Rush. We're at 6 touchdowns against UNLV. And then maybe, where would you, and then Kenny Potter, where would you put Josh Allen in that group?
That's a good question, actually.
I guess technically Nick Stevens, because he played pretty well 2 weeks ago.
I mean, I think for those Mountain West fans out there who don't follow Maction all that closely, I think Cooper Rush is a pretty good quarterback. I don't think Allen is as good as Rosen yet, because I think a Rosen that's 100% is a very dangerous quarterback.
Or you mean Jim Mora, number one draft pick of last year's NFL draft, if he is able to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
I mean, I would probably put him right there with Cooper Rush as kind of like 2A and 2B, if it were up to me.
Now, that's about where I was putting there, right on that Central Michigan spot, because Potter, it's not all his fault, but just from what he has for the offensive line being so poor with the Spartans line, 30-plus sacks already? And then Nick Stevens, I would put him above Nick Stevens, but not far ahead, but I think you're right. So do you know the line on this game?
I do not.
Take a guess. The road game at UNLV. On Saturday.
I remember reading that it was surprisingly low. But I'm going to assume it's moved up a little bit. So I'm going to say Wyoming -8.
Ooh, you're getting good. 7.5.
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
So when's the last time Wyoming's been a road favorite?
That's an excellent question.
And no time to look it up. is this game on CBS Sports Network?
It is not listed on the Mountain. I would assume it's probably on Root Sports or something like that.
Let me double check here. I have the... it is Root Sports. I have College Press Box open. Yeah, Root Sports, which means, hey, Matt, you can stream this game online.
Nice.
So if you're out of the area of the Rocky Mountain Root Sports division, you can stream the game. So that's a decent one to check out, because UNLV could be dangerous, but I don't see it happening. Then we have Boise State at Hawaii.
Wait. We didn't say who would win the game.
Oh, I thought it was obvious. Cowboys?
Cowboys.
Come on.
Against the spread?
Yeah, I think so. I think they will by 10.
I would probably lay those points too.
With Kurt Ballendeck, I don't trust him to get the ball to Devontae Boyd enough to help.
That's
them
a fair point.
Okay, moving on. Boise State at Hawaii, where we gave away tickets for this game. So congratulations to our winner. Let me get their name here. Who knows if they listen? Because I noticed a few people who commented were first time commenters who signed up just for tickets. And cool. That's awesome. Travis.
Stopping by.
We don't care, do we?
I like readers.
Oh no, I meant, do we care that they just signed up for this? Maybe I misheard what you said.
Oh well, no, I don't actually.
Let's hope they come back. That's, I think that's what she said, right?
Yes.
Good. We're awesome. We're going great tonight. So the winner, Travis, I'm going to butcher this last name because, of course, it's not a simple one. Scarnagello. Travis Scarnagello. Congratulations. You will get tickets for Will Call. We'll have that set up for you for this game Saturday afternoon. Hey, it's a game we can all see with Hawaii.
That's right.
That's CBS a rare Sports one. Network. And also, I found out a little trick I tweeted out. I have DirecTV, so I'm not at home on Saturday afternoon or during one of the many CBS games that were on last weekend. I'm like, let me check the live streaming just for the heck of it. You can stream DirecTV out of home on the app. So
nice.
There you go, DirecTV app. So it's getting a bit better. But this game, Hawaii last week, like the recap I did by myself last week went pretty quickly because especially this game with featuring Hawaii, they lost to San Diego State 55-0.
Mm-hmm.
So, Boise's favored by, do you want to guess again?
On the road in Hawaii? Oh, man.
At the Rock.
I'm going to say 17.
Man, you are getting good. 18.5.
Okay, not bad.
For a road game at Hawaii, for a Boise team that's given up a lot of points the past month, that's I think that's kind of high.
Yes and no. I mean, I think Hawaii's kind of a flawed team, and if you look at their overall performance at conference play, like they've had really good games as a whole, and they've had really bad games as a whole. Like, what kind of team, for instance, like goes to Air Force and, you know, beats them in overtime and then loses by 55 to San Diego State?
Nick Rolovich's Hawaii Warriors, that's who.
I guess so. Yeah,
it is odd. I get your point. I was kind of joking around, but it is interesting that they have that big turnaround, especially a road game. But like Hawaii, like Drew Brown, even in the loss last week, he moved the ball pretty well in the air. And I'm thinking because, like I said, Boise's defense hasn't been very good the past little while. They gave up 31 points to San Jose State. They've given up 30 in the loss to Wyoming. The BYU game's different because that was two defensive scores, but a lot of points to CSU. They've just been not, I haven't been impressed the past two games. BYU, they played great defensively, but past two games, I'm like, they're not playing very well. Quarterbacks can move the ball against them. So I'm wondering, I still think Boise will win, but I think Drew Brown might have a better game than people think.
So like, what is the upset bid look like for the Warriors in your opinion?
Man, that's to find an upset. I would think probably has to be on special teams or something because, like we said before, Boise has like one of the worst starting positions or starting yard line positions. I think
they have the worst starting line positions.
The worst. Okay. There's that. So maybe I don't think it'll come in form of a kick return or punt return, but maybe a fumble punt. Like these are kind of lucky things. It's hard to say. You're going to win because another team screws up on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's going to have to be short fields involved. So they're going to need to get some sort of turnover in special teams game or do something because they just don't move the ball. Maybe kick the ball right at the goal line so they bring it out and they start at the 10-yard line instead of a touchback at the 25. But I also think the running game is going to be key because when you saw what Boise did against New Mexico – mm-hmm. Or not did, but what they olayed their defense through versus Mexico. They've allowed a lot on the ground. I'm thinking that's the way because Hawaii they have the three guys back there that can run the ball very well. St. Just, Kemp, or not Kemp, excuse me, that's the wide receiver, Marcus Kemp, Paul Harrison, maybe Stephen Lakalaka at times. But I think that's an area where they have enough guys, so like if one guy's not playing well, they can, as they've done, bring him in and out. And Drew Brown can run as well. We've seen how Boise has done against running quarterbacks, not necessarily option, obviously, but a running mobile quarterback can sort of fit into that. Because mm-hmm. Boise State, if you look at their numbers, yes, they've only allowed 7 touchdowns. They're middle of the pack overall, like in 4.5 yards, just over 4 yards per carry. But mm-hmm. when their main priority is to run the ball, they're not very good. And the stats are skewed because if you look at who they played, I pulled up right now the past 5 games. Okay. Actually, let's go to the beginning. Lafayette's not very good, 2 yards a carry. Washington State doesn't run the ball. Oregon State's a terrible team. Utah State has no running offense. Since New Mexico on, they've given up about 5 yards per carry, 5.5 yards per carry, and 5 of their 7 touchdowns in those prior games as well. Because here's how it breaks down. At New Mexico, 6.2 allowed. Colorado State, 5.1. They held BYU to 3.5, but that was without Jamal Williams. Wyoming, they did pretty well versus Brian Hill, 4.3, and then 6.58 versus San Jose. And so while it's 4.2 overall, the past month, it's about 5+. So I think that's the way they're going to be able to beat Boise plus. Like we've joked about good Brett Rippon or bad Brett Rippon, depends how he shows up. If he's going to have a big game or be pedestrian or have a couple picks. I think it's more likely the running game is going to help them win for Hawaii, but they're going to have to do something else besides, say, control the ball and maybe get some special teams plays, whether it's a good coverage or even a turnover. But I'd have to lean toward the running game and Drew Brown contributing to that as well.
See, to me, I think the one thing that absolutely cannot happen if Hawaii wants to win this game is they cannot turn the ball over. And, you know, I'm not going to get too much into it, but one thing that stuck out to me is if you look at turnover margin on the season, both Hawaii and Boise State are -8 on the year, which isn't good.
No.
And I would encourage everybody to go to Football Study Hall all the time, obviously. But Bill C has this thing where he somehow measures expected turnover margin versus actual turnover margin. And if you compare the two, like the -8s aren't created equal, because you would expect Boise State, based on the math, I don't know if I can explain it in 30 seconds or anything like that. They expect it basically for Boise State to be 0.
In this game or like the season, you mean?
So they've been kind of extremely unlucky in some respects. And on the flip side, if you look at the expected turnover margin for Hawaii, they've actually been a little bit lucky. Like they expect like almost a -10 turnover margin. Hmm. And when you look at what they've done in games throughout the year, the games in which they've taken care of the ball are the ones in which they've won most often.
That like makes sense.
They were +1 against Tennessee Martin and they won. They were +1 against San Jose State and they won. They were +1 against Air Force and they won. The only game that they've won where they lost the turnover battle or basically went to a draw. So if they were 0 or worse in the turnover battle, basically, the only game that they won was the one against Nevada. You know, they were -3 against San Diego State, -3 against Cal to open the year, -2 against Arizona. So, I mean, on the whole, I feel like they've gotten a little bit better in conference play. But that definitely did them in last week because, you know, Drew Brown threw 4 interceptions, and that's not going to get the job done against any defense, let alone San Jose State or San Diego State's defense. So, you know, they may need to get a little bit lucky too, because they've had 17 fumbles and lost 8 of them, which is right around 50%, which is what you might expect. So if they can benefit from a little fumble luck, they might be able to get away with those kinds of mistakes. But if they don't, that's the kind of thing where it could be a really long afternoon really quickly, because Boise has shown that they can be efficient, they can be explosive, even with the worst starting field position in the country.
Now that's a good point. I know turnover margin is simple to say, oh, get less and you win, or turnover in your favor, but it makes some good points because, like you said, San Diego State -3, and even Air Force, they won off interception, so that could have been a victory with being even, but given what this Boise offense can do, you got to probably, I would say, Wyoming would need to be like +2 to have a good chance to win, because when they played BYU, they were -5 and still won.
Yeah, and I mean, I think on the flip side too, you know, someone like Jelani Tavai is probably going to have a big game, which probably means slowing down Jeremy McNichols, which is, of course, easier said than done this year. But, you know, he's the guy who leads the team in tackles for loss with 10, and he leads with 3 sacks. So they may need him to be a guy who more or less plays this game of the year. But he's, you know, been one of those guys who should be in the conversation for an all-conference spot, if you're asking me. Because he's pretty much done it all, and they're probably going to need him to do it again on Saturday.
All right, so is Boise going to cover or not? Because I assume we're both saying they're going to win.
You know what?
Right? Or is it, are you going to go for the stupid upset pick here?
No, I'm not that gutsy. I mean, Boise's struggled lately. Like, they've been good, but they've also struggled in a lot of respects. So I would take that. I would take those points, but I would expect Boise to probably win by about 10 or so.
I'm right there with you. Just the way the like you said, they haven't been playing well. Gave up so many points to San Jose. They lose to Wyoming, where they didn't look all that great. I think they'll win. They may win for me like by 2 touchdowns or 17, but they're not going to blow away because Hawaii's a better team. That they'll get, they improved enough to make probably be a little thorn in Boise's side to hang around for a while. But I don't expect a blowout for Boise to win. But it'll be a reasonably good matchup, and hopefully it is because we can watch Hawaii for once.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take a quick break momentarily. And we'll be back. And we're back. This weekend, there's... I hope people have their 5-hour energy, or if you have a coffee or caffeine of some sort. We got 3 8 p.m. Mountain kicks or later this evening. Or this Saturday evening.
Just move to the West Coast where you never have to deal with that.
True. 7's better than 8. I'm cool with 8. It gets done around midnight, so it's not too bad for the most part. But we all know these games. 8:30 kick really means 8:45, right?
Oh yeah.
All right, so let's I'll start with one at the top. I have New Mexico at Utah State.
Okay.
Oh, Utah State. Let me ask you this: did you know that if New Mexico and Wyoming both went out, their final game will decide the Mountain Division title?
I did know that, and that is delightful.
Very delightful. It's just a different team. It's fun. We don't need to see. I'd like some spice in this conference. Aztecs are, yes, you're good, but you're crushing the West too good to win the division. But this game itself, New Mexico at Utah State, it's a money game. ESPN2, like I said, 8:15 local time, 7 on the West Coast there. Utah State is, as of right now, Kent Myers, he left the game last week, day to day. Damien Hobbs would be at next line to start. But New Mexico, I don't trust Utah State for anything. I honestly think New Mexico could just roll this game, win like 31-10, 45-14 or something just ridiculous. Because Aggies have no rush offense. You pointed out to me correctly that New Mexico's defense has improved more than I thought they did when I actually look at the numbers. And the quarterback situation, yeah, Utah State receiving-wise, Rashad Lewis, Ronquavion Tarver, but I don't trust their offense to do anything special, and their defense has just been okay. And so I think New Mexico could just cruise in this game.
See, to me, I think what it comes down to is if Myers is out, you know, New Mexico at times has shown a susceptibility to big plays on defense. You know, they rank, I believe, 121st in Bill Connolly's explosiveness metric on the defensive side of the ball.
And there's only 128 teams, correct?
Yes.
So not good.
So that is hashtag not good.
Analysis.
But yeah, so, and I mean, on the whole, especially in conference play, I think New Mexico has been pretty susceptible to big pass plays in particular. Like in conference games only, like they're averaging or they're allowing 10 yards per attempt. And they've given up the most passing touchdowns of any team in the conference through 5 games. So that isn't necessarily Utah State's strength. Like as a passer this year, Damien Hobbs in limited action, he's only 8 of 19, no touchdowns, 1 interception, which isn't great. And, you know, he also hasn't been quite as an efficient runner as Myers has been. Like if you readjust for all of the sack rushing yards BS that the FBS does for whatever reason,
yeah,
like Myers on the year has 475 yards and he's averaging over 7 yards a carry, which is pretty good for a quarterback who's had to kind of move in the pocket and create a lot of plays for himself, to be honest. And Hobbs in action has, you know, 68 yards, 5 touchdowns, which is pretty good, but only 4.5 yards per carry, which is okay. But I think they may need him to do a little bit more because on the whole, you know, the rushing game is not great for Utah State. And especially as a passer, they're going to need to find those big plays to really exploit this New Mexico secondary, because, you know, the teams that have been able to do that in conference play are the teams that have really, you know, pushed the envelope. Like, New Mexico has been pretty good running the football, but, you know, they got pushed a little bit by Boise, especially, and they got pushed by Air Force, which, you know, one you might expect and one you definitely wouldn't. So that's something that I would keep an eye on if I were an Aggies fan.
Yeah, it's, here's a funny quote here, not to side-roll a little bit, but Utah State head coach Matt Wells, quote about New Mexico, because Matt Wells is becoming my least favorite coach because he's learned coach speak too well.
Okay.
In my opinion, you know, it's like, oh, he's day to day. We'll evaluate as the week goes on. New Mexico playing with a lot of confidence. They know who they are. Oh, of course. Come on. Give us something, coach. Anything. I would like to have something known. But you're right. Everything what you said, I did think Utah State, they kind of fool you because they started off a little bit good in a couple of their recent games, like scoring first versus San Diego State. But then Wyoming, yeah, they lost 52-28, but it looked, they made some sort of comeback at some point. Like they scored 21 points in the third quarter. So we know stuff could happen for them positively to run the ball or pass the ball. But when's the last time Utah State's given up 52 points on defense? I'd have to go back, Bright Guy days maybe, when they were terrible. Back then they've given up, yeah, 45 to USC, that's a lot of points, but 40 to San Diego State, 52 to Wyoming. I just don't trust Utah State, especially with an injured quarterback now, and the running game's non-existent. I know New Mexico's defense isn't amazing, but with them having Austin Apodaca back in there, that actually gives them a passing threat of some sort. Yeah, he may go what he did last week, 7 of 9 for 95 yards, I believe. Mm-hmm. If he can attempt to throw or bring that throwing threat, that's going to open up for Richard McCorley, Tyrod Owens, Taron Gibson running the ball. I just don't see how Utah State keeps it close. I'm just down on Utah State. They just haven't impressed the past. They've lost 5 of 6 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point because, you know, even, you know, they, you know, on the whole, you know, no receiver on the team is averaging more than about 12 and a half yards per catch, which is good, but not great because they haven't really been able to find that many explosive plays. And, you know, even those yards per catch, you know, they come off of yards per target where Rashad Lewis is averaging only 6.5 yards per target. You know, Tarver's at 7.8, which leads the team. And Wyatt Houston, 6.6, which if you recall what we talked about a few minutes ago with, you know, Wyoming, for instance, you know, that's a huge drop off.
They don't have Hunter Sharp out there, man. That's why.
Yeah, well, I mean, even Hunter Sharp was able to create, you know, more plays from nothing off of, like, screen passes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They just haven't really identified a guy who could do that for them as of yet.
Well, so what do you make of this game? There's not a line set for some reason. Let me see if the team rankings has it really quick. But I just don't, like I said, Utah State, it's just a feeling. Like, I've seen what they've done, and the running game's been pretty bad, and even if Devontae Mays is healthy, I don't trust it. There's no line here, but looking at like the ESPN Pick Center, they predict a very close game, 30-27 in favor of the Lobos. I think New Mexico might win by 2 touchdowns.
Here's a more interesting thing.
Ooh.
Bill Connolly.
What's he got?
Projected score. Utah State 32.7, New Mexico 30.4.
Boo.
He gives Utah State a 55% chance of winning this game.
Sorry, Bill. I can't agree with you on this at all.
So, okay. So did you find a line for it?
No, I'm checking Vegas Insider real quick, but I just went to Pick Center where they do their computer modules. But I just don't, Utah State has been so bad, and I know it. And it, okay. I could be blinded by my love for New Mexico, 'cause I like their ground attack and what they can do.
Okay.
But don't laugh. Hey, I might remind you, and I remind people all the time, 2 years ago, preseason, people laughed at me when I said New Mexico is going bowling. They went bowling and nearly won the division and nearly won the conference. So I just like to point that out because I was correct. No line, no spread, but playing in Logan is difficult. It's not easy because of where it is and how to get there. It's not like an airport nearby. Because if you fly into Salt Lake, you're about a 90-minute away. If you fly into Ogden, which is just north, you're still a good 40 minutes out. I just think New Mexico's going to win and win easily.
Okay, am I allowed to make a stupid upset pick with a caveat?
Maybe. What's the caveat?
If Kent Myers plays, Utah State wins.
You have that much confidence in him?
If he doesn't, then they won't.
Do you have confidence in Kent Myers?
I do.
Okay. That's not a stupid upset pick. That's a fair pick. If he plays, what would you like? You would say like a field goal game, something one possession or less.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be dependent on Utah State's front seven stepping up to really slow this defense or this running attack down, which, you know, for every team this year has been easier said than done. And, you know, they've been kind of exposed in the last couple of weeks, but they're still, you know, middle of the pack on the year in run defense and as far as yards per play. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I think Kent Myers is good enough to keep the game close.
I agree with
but
that.
If he doesn't play, then I think New Mexico is probably going to win this game pretty handily.
Okay, how really quick, because we got to move on, because I got to wrap this up before I have to... Good to see Dr. Strange, I just need to hustle.
Okay.
Last two games, San Diego State, Wyoming, against the Utah State. They've given up 7 yards, 5.8 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns. Where would you put New Mexico's rushing attack comparatively between those two?
It would have to be better.
Better than,
I mean,
both?
The number one rushing offense in the country.
So you think they could average more than 7 yards per carry? I'm just saying that's, I mean, a lot.
It's not outside the realm of possibility because they're averaging 6.7 right now.
That's why I'm pointing for them to win right there.
That's fair.
And then really quick, that number goes higher because they're 4.35. Fresno, okay, stopping the FBS team is good, but Weber State, 2.6. Arkansas State, 2.2. They did hold Boise to 3.85, but that was a while ago. So that's why I'm pointing to Mexico to win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
Next game, Colorado State at Air Force, an in-state rival that's not a rival. Falcons favored by 5.5. I think Colorado State could win this game outright because they've been playing quite well. Because I mentioned it during the recap last week and probably before. Ever since they showed out Utah State and made that comeback, they've been playing pretty well. And Nick Stevens.
Saw for myself on Saturday.
So what did you think of Nick Stevens at Hugh Stadium there, him actually returning to last year's form?
I mean, it was kind of what I expected all along. Like, if you go back to our preseason top 50, I can't remember exactly where I had him relative to everyone else, but I think that I had him just about higher than everybody else.
I think you and me were up there.
And I mean, on the year, he's basically right back to where he was last year. 60% completion rate, 3-1 touchdown to interception rate. You know, granted, you know, playing Fresno State makes anybody look good these days.
Yes.
But, you know, Air Force has looked kind of shaky over the last month. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, it's more of the same from Stevens, especially. Like, they rebounded in a big way against Army. But, of course, Army runs the football more than they pass the football.
Yeah, and Edgar Poe had a nice long touchdown pass against Air Force.
Yeah, and I mean, they got beaten pretty well by, you know, quality quarterbacks like Josh Allen and, you know, Drew Brown was able to sneak up on them at home, mind you. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Nick Stevens and especially Michael Gallup, who, if people aren't talking about him, like he's playing himself into an all-conference spot right now. Because he had a big game last week against Fresno State, and on the year, you know, he's got 45 catches, 700 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he's really come on strong in the last month or so. So, you know, the Falcons are going to have to pay him a lot of attention, especially.
Well, yeah, everything overall, because Rams have just, everything overall is pointing to me, they're getting better and better. With whether it's a running game or like even like Sam McKenzie, the freshman there, running at will the past little while. Dang, I'm trying to look up where we had Nick Stevens, but I'm not finding it yet. But I don't know, Air Force, okay, really quick, here's what I have, Nick Stevens. I wanted to pull this up just to see. I put him, or no, who's the highest? Oh, I did not rank him. I thought I did. Sorry, I did not. Our Air Force writer, overall, Nick Stevens was 26th. unless I don't have all the rankings up here, because I remember I stopped partway through. Dwayne had him at 16. What did you have him at? Let's see here. I know this is riveting. Maybe, let's see, Nick Stevens. No, you did not rank Nick Stevens at all. Oh, no, you did. There you go. Wait, there you go. Not as high as you think you did. 45. Yeah. Hey, you're in the top half, at top 50. It's okay. But as for this team, like, Air Force finally turned around last week, but what Air Force team is going to show up? That's what I want. Like, yeah. No, they do have Worthman at quarterback, who threw better than I thought he would versus Army, but I still think Romine is the better thrower. But, like, looking what he did against Army really quick, he threw, I know he did a touchdown pass to a Jacoby Owens, which was like a wounded duck. He had to come back to make that catch to score. He threw for 195 yards, and he ran for 63. And so we've seen how fast he is, but I just don't know what to make of this Air Force team, because, like you said, Army doesn't pass very well, and Air Force has given up a lot of passing yards, whether it be Hawaii. Before this game, they'd be giving up too many, for me, too many passing yards. Like, hold on. Sorry, I have the wrong team up here. I was about to list off five teams that were not on Air Force's schedule, but during their losing streak, they had issues on pass defense, despite having two of the better defenders in Lapido and Western Stillhammer back there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think conversely, it's going to be interesting to see just how well Colorado State's defense continues to play, because, you know, they played Fresno State last week.
How was that game?
Which is, that game was, well, depending on your perspective, is either great or is ugly.
Let me ask you this. But, were we correct on Zach Klein?
It's hard to say, because the offensive line is literally the worst in college football.
That's my point. I go, does a new offensive line come with Zach Klein?
Yeah. But, I mean, so you can give them a pass for really shutting down Fresno State's running game. But, you know, if you take that game away, you know, they still gave up over 6 yards a carry to Utah State. They gave up 4.7 to Jeremy McNichols in Boise. They give up, you know, nearly 5.5 to UNLV. And on the whole, they're still giving up almost 5 yards a carry in conference action. So I think it's still an open question as to whether, you know, Worthman or Romine, whoever's under center, you know, they're going to be getting their consistent yardage, you know, play after play after play. It's going to be a matter of whether they can limit those big plays, because, you know, on the whole, especially in conference play, Colorado State's been pretty good about holding drives. Like, they're fifth in the conference right now in opponents' third down conversions in conference play. You know, it's about 41% on the whole, which is pretty solid. So to me, I'd be interested in whether they can keep up that kind of performance, because, you know, keeping Air Force from those long, you know, 13, 14, 15 play drives is really critical for any defense's success.
Yeah, you don't want to be just crushed where you're spending 20 to 30 real-time minutes on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, to the same effect, like, if you look at, on the whole, Air Force is, I believe, second in the conference in third down conversions on the year. Like, they're right there at right around 49%. But in conference play, that number has actually dropped a little bit to 43%. Which is good for sixth in the conference. So, you know, if Colorado State can make up that difference, if they can play really well, especially in that front seven, I think is going to make a difference. And, you know, I'll say it again, the linebackers are really good. And if those guys can make stops in the backfield and force Air Force to pass and basically make stops, I think that bodes really well for the Rams' chances.
Obviously, yeah, that's the main thing. Any Air Force or option team, don't let them get the 20, 50, 34, whatever. Basically, limit those 15-plus yard runs. So Jacoby Owens can't go out for big gains if the Rams are going to want to get a victory in this game. So I think my deciding factor is, I think it'll be the Rams' passing offense against the, which is simple if you think about it, because it's not hard to know what Air Force wants to do. I think it's going to be, if the Rams can throw the ball well against this defense, which, like we said, has been allowing yards in the air, touchdowns, and, again, stop the big plays. It's very, I know it sounds simple, but and cliche. It doesn't matter. I've looked around. No word if Romine's going to get to start because he did practice last week. But I think those two guys are basically a clone of each other. After seeing how well Worthman threw last week, they're basically the same guy. So I don't think it matters who's quarterback. But I think Nick Stevens has to have a big game. And then also the running game for the Rams, while it has been better, you and me both know, and it's kind of been inconsistent at times, whether it's Izzy Matthews, Dalen Dawkins, or McKenzie back there. They've been able to disappear at times and not help out the quarterback. And that's part of the reason why they're winning better, because if you can run the ball, defenses can't key in on the pass, whether drop eight guys or bring a full-on blitz where they know what's coming. So I think it's going to be Rams going to pass well and obviously run well. I know that's not groundbreaking by any means what I'm saying, but if the Rams keep playing like they have the past couple weeks, I expect them to win this game.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially since the Falcons got pushed hard by the Lobos earlier in October. Like, if you look at the last three games especially, 2.9 yards per carry for Hawaii, 1.2 for Fresno State, and 3.6 for Army, which is pretty good on the whole.
Mm-hmm. For Army, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm with you. Like, it's going to come down to whether Nick Stevens can make plays down the field or not. And, I mean, to me, I've been impressed with what he's done in the last couple of weeks, and so I like their chances to get it done.
So do I. I think even though Rams are an underdog by 5.5 points, I think they're going to, unless, I don't want to go into guessing, but I just think the way that both teams have been playing, Rams should be favored in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be kind of a back and forth thing. It wouldn't surprise me if it were like a field goals difference at the end.
I can see that. I just think if Nick Stevens is on, Rams are going to win.
Yeah.
All right, the late game, another the home away from home for San Diego State on CBS Sports Network is a road game, 8:30 p.m. Local time there, or excuse me, Mountain Time, 7:30 Pacific there in Reno. Really quick, do you know the advantage on the line for this game?
50.5.
50.5?
No, I'm kidding.
I wasn't sure he's at 15. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, I mean, you know how down on Nevada I've been all year long.
You're not far off, I'll tell you that.
is it something ridiculous, like 27.5?
24.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pumphrey's gonna run for like 250 this game, at least. If he has a chance to do so, I should say. If given the chance, he could run for 250 yards.
Is this another game where the Aztecs run for 400 yards as a team?
Why not? I think so.
Yeah, I mean,
Christian Chapman will go 5 of 8 for 45 yards and no interceptions and win.
It's really hard to see how that doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Do you know, really quick, here's Nevada's rushing defense. They're last in the Mountain West. They've given up the third most touchdowns at 23.
Yeah.
280 yards per game.
Yeah.
They are not last in yards per given up per attempt. They're actually third from us, but it's still 5.51 per carry.
So I don't know if you're looking at the football study hall right here.
Not at the moment.
But there's a lot of defensive categories where I don't know if the system is broken or something like that. Like, they don't even rank in certain things. Like,
are they dividing by zero? Like, is that what you're trying to do? Divide by zero?
I have no idea what it is. It says #ref! Exclamation point. So somebody may want to page Bill C on that.
Check your Excel sheet, Bill.
Yeah, apparently the situational defense is broken.
But yet, I would not be surprised if that's accurate either.
But I mean, here's the thing. Like, even if Nevada does somehow manage to make a few stops, running the
Aztecs. Few stops. That's funny.
Like, do you realize that they are also dead last in defense on passing downs success rate?
Is this Christian Chapman's breakout game?
I mean, it could be if they want him to pass early. I mean, I don't see why they would, but if they asked him to, I would not be surprised if he more or less threw the ball all over the field on this defense, because on the whole, he's been pretty good. Like, he's he hasn't found that many explosive plays, but he's like middle of the pack in yards per attempt. You know, he's got 13 touchdowns against 4 interceptions. He's got a completion rate over 60%. On the whole, he's been pretty good. So if they ask him to do it, I wouldn't be surprised if he was able to.
He can throw. He's better than Maxwell Smith. It's just kind of joking the past couple weeks. He hasn't thrown very much. But again, it's a game where do they need him to or want him to? This game, no. Like looking even at, I see it now, the standard down S&P, passing down S&P, all ref exclamation point.
Nevada's defense broke the system.
They're that bad. They broke the system. Looking at stuff like their havoc rate, 120th. Here's what's not good. When you're facing Donald Pumphrey, you do not want your linebacker havoc rate to be 127 out of 128.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means you're not making big plays. That means you're getting past the defensive line, which is middle of the pack. So once they, let's just say every other run gets past that first level, once they get to level 2, they're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And so, again, 400 yards offense, what, 250 for Pumphrey?
So on the flip side, let me try to make the case for how Nevada can keep this close.
Ty Ganji.
Because Ty Ganji, it's basically going to come down to him because he's been a little bit hit or miss in his couple of starts so far. You know, last week, obviously, they lost the game to New Mexico, but like in the same way thing we were talking about earlier, as far as New Mexico's susceptibility to big plays, you know, Ganji did manage almost 9 yards per pass attempt, and he did throw for 3 touchdowns, though he did have the 2 interceptions. So he wasn't as efficient as he would want him to be, but he was finding big plays down the field. And, you know, in some respects, he was a little bit better than he was the week before against Wyoming. The other thing you can say for him is relative to Tyler Stewart, he's been a lot better at avoiding sacks in the 2 games that he started so far. You know, Stewart was sacked 16 times. That's a sack rate of about 8.5%. And in 2 starts, Ganji's only been sacked once, which is a 1.1% sack rate, which is a lot better. So I don't know if that was a problem more with the offensive line or whether that was a problem with Stewart hanging on to the ball too long. But Ganji seems to have corrected that problem a little bit himself. And if he can continue to stay out of trouble, I mean, to me, I think that's where things could get interesting.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they going to bring back the triple option?
I mean, I don't see why they would. I think if they want to beat San Diego State, the only team that did it this year did it by throwing the football.
Because jokingly, I kind of just bring that up just because it's fun to mention they tried it for like 2.5 games. But
yeah,
as I mentioned, Nevada has a lot of wide receivers. They just haven't been playing. Maybe my expectations too high, but they have talent out there. If that is, you're correct. If they go 4 wide, 3 wide at a tight end or something, because they do have, who is it, Wyatt Dempsey has what, 7 touchdowns on the year? Is that, that's
correct? Yes.
Yeah, Wyatt Dempsey. I was thinking Wysett. No, Wyatt Dempsey. And then like Jericho Richardson doing okay on targets and receptions. They have 4 guys over 20 receptions. Obviously, Dempsey is the guy. So, as I said, Nevada probably won't win and San Diego State should crush them, but there's a chance they can make this interesting by spreading the ball out. Even though versus Hawaii, San Diego State had, I believe, 2 defensive touchdowns and 4 turnovers or 4 interceptions by Drew Brown. So there's also that aspect to it as well. But passing is a way they could hang around a little bit. But the problem is Nevada's like wide receivers. Jericho Richardson has a catch rate of 42%.
Yeah, that's not good.
And he's their second leading receiver. Like Wyatt Dempsey, Sean Henderson are above 60. Butler catches everything out of the backfield. Maybe give him the ball. He's caught 26 of 27. Because Butler's a good player. If they could get him the ball a bit more, maybe that could be something. But I think spreading the field horizontally is the way Nevada could make this interesting, at least for a little bit.
I had no idea Butler's yards per target were almost 10.
That's good for a running back.
That is really good for a running back. I mean, and it's hard to break this down and really say how much of an influence Ganji has had on it directly. But if even if you just look at the, you know, the long passing plays breakdown by month, like Nevada has slowly gotten a little better as far as finding big plays in the passing game. Because if you break it down by August and September, they had, you know, 29 plays of 10 plus yards throwing the football in those months. In October, they had 34 in four games. And then last week they had, you know, 10 against New Mexico. So to me, I think the Ganges made a little bit of an impact on their ability to throw the football a little bit further down the field. And I feel like that's diluted a little bit if you're looking at the season totals just by virtue of the fact that Tyler Stewart very rarely threw the ball down the field. So it'll be interesting to see how much they decide to push the San Diego State defense, because, you know, the one time they were really susceptible to it was in that South Alabama game. And I mean, I don't want to harp on it too much, but it might be worth noting now that, you know, if you haven't heard the news already, they are going to be missing at least two key pieces from that secondary going forward.
No, it's three, actually.
It's three. Well, I mean, two of them that were.
Oh, yeah. But they've been out as well the past couple of games. This isn't like the news that they're missing now, because they've been out, I believe, two games, I want to say.
Yeah. But I mean, losing Derek Babish hurts because he was having a really good year. You know, three interceptions, six pass breakups.
All right, so let's beat about the bush. Why are we arguing so much about this game? Aztecs are going to win by three touchdowns, right?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I think the Aztecs are going to win. It would not shock me, though, if it were more like the Fresno State game, where they basically took the air out of the football, didn't cover, but, you know, the Wolfpack never really threatened.
I think it'll be a bit more score. I think it'll be like a 31-10 game where it's just like you said, but a little bit more scoring from San Diego State.
So then you would take the Wolfpack in the points.
I guess so. I'm not confident in it.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it were more like 28-10, 21-10, where it's just kind of a, you know, put you to sleep kind of affair, like a sleeper hold, something like that.
Possibly. I think that'll be the second half play, but Aztecs are going to win. We agree. It'll be close because they've been playing well. Like how many points they've been crushing teams by, 55-0, 40 points the week prior. They've been playing very, very well. But I have a little faith in Nevada. They can do something.
I think they'll be motivated to score points. Let's put it that way.
All right. That's a good answer. So we'll see if Ganji does something throwing the ball. Maybe that'll be a difference. But that's our show for tonight. Week 11 preview. Whew, week 11 already. Also, quick note, there will be a basketball show this week with myself and not you, Matt, not surprising you now with the basketball show.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, Eli Bardiger, who's been doing our top 25 countdowns. So look for that this week. We'll do a preview where I'll pretend to know what I'm talking about. Go Malik Pope. He's a good player, right? I think.
Yes, he is.
Yes, on San Diego State. Kidding, I know that much. But look for that this week. Check out our show, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, leave a review. And yeah, every game's on Saturday, so spread your week out. You have a good Friday night to go have some fun and then camp out Saturday. And then, like I said, get that caffeine going Saturday night. So yeah, as always, we are biased